Just before I left on vacation, a woman came to my office to share with me something important that had just happened in her life. She was very nervous. She'd made a momentous decision that was the fruit of many long months of anxious thought. As she told me about it, it was clear that this was a decision for the best. But I also noticed that she was so overwhelmed, she was visibly shaking. I didn't want her to be embarrassed. I've been in that situation before, too. Momentous decisions tend to have that effect on us. It's hard for us to separate ourselves from the matter at hand. And it's the nature of the thing. Decisions like these actually do a lot to shape who we are as people and how we operate in the world. No doubt you have your own set of moments, just like this one, where so much of yourself is invested in the outcome that it becomes a part of you. The prophet Zechariah seems to have something like this in mind today in our first lesson, when he addresses people whom he calls prisoners of hope. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. It's the end of a passage we usually read in Advent or Palm Sunday, but today, the 9th of July, it's an invitation to consider our own moments as prisoners of hope, where we are so invested in a positive outcome that we find it hard to separate ourselves from our hope. Maybe that's something as simple and good as a successful pregnancy, or maybe something more difficult, hoping for relief from some kind of affliction or help for someone else, hoping for mom to stop drinking, or for dad to fall in love again, or for Illinois to get its budget figured out. Whatever it is, we can find ourselves completely wrapped up in the pressures of the moment, prisoners of hope, or else prisoners of anxiety or fear. St. Paul continues the same tack in one of his most famously neurotic passages, and actually one of the earliest examples of writing of this kind. The passage we hear from his letter to the Romans is full of intense self-searching, self-doubt, a psychological exploration of the body's complicity in sin, along with the will's impotence to accomplish the good it desires. He concludes with one of the most despairing cries in Scripture, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Thankfully, he follows this passage from Romans 7 with Romans 8. And if you want the end of the story, go home and read Romans 8. Copy it down, memorize it, take it with you everywhere, put it under your pillow at night. But for now, Romans 7 presents us with Paul himself as a prisoner of hope, full of hope for the good, but a prisoner to the anxiety of his mind. One of the best analogies I can think of is digital and social media. Facebook, YouTube, television, email, all of them are what I call infinity devices, to which there is effectively no end. We keep scrolling, we keep watching, there's always something more to see, to read, to like. Our minds are that way too. There's always another pressure, another distraction, another task that needs doing, idea that needs exploring, event that needs unpacking, emotion that needs expressing. This constant mind stream can imprison us, keeping us from exploring the full range of the world around us, keeping us from doing the good we wish or loving as we ought. What to do? In the midst of all this, the gospel promises relief. Jesus gives us one of the most famous of his comfortable words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How is this? What is the relief that Jesus brings? How does he loose the bonds of us prisoners of hope? As Christians, we think a lot about the God who saves us and how it is that that's accomplished. But we don't as often think about who it is that God saves. That's you and me. And if you're like me, maybe sometimes you could do with a little more thought, a little more consideration for you, yourself, just you, whom God saves. Not in a narrow, self-centered way that makes me the center of the universe, but in a way that frees us from our various anxieties and emotions and places us on secure footing in the simple, unconditional love of God. Only the love of God frees us to engage all the more fully with our neighbors, freed from the pressure of our mindstream infinity device. Be still for a moment. Stop. Listen. Let the love of God drive a wedge between you and the constantly playing screen of stories and reactions and worries in your head. Let them be. But you just step aside for a moment without them. And consider that here, alone, just yourself, with nothing else, you are with God. You are not your emotions, your opinions, even your convictions. You are not the sum of your failures, your talents, your sins, your virtues. I am not my anxiety or my fortitude or whatever. The Lord's yoke that is easy, his burden that is light, is simply the knowledge that you, in yourself, without anything else, in silence, the person that God made, is the person whom God loves, whom God saves. All this might sound like pop psychology, but it is deeply rooted in the gospel and the hard work of Christian prayer. The better we know ourselves as creatures of God's love, the better we can know God as the one who loves us. And the more we do that, the more we can love our neighbors and our world for God's sake and for theirs, selflessly, not needing them to answer our own worries or hopes, but allowing them to delight us with who they are as creatures of God's love themselves. We all have our hard decisions to make, and I'm not advocating we ignore them or pass them off as mere distractions. But I am suggesting that the gospel releases us from imprisonment to our mind streams and equips us to see the world for what it really is, a surprising, unnecessary creation which God made for the sheer delight of it, in which you and I may find our places as creatures of his love, of his forgiveness. May we hear today Jesus' voice calling through the fray, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.